The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today we're going to talk about the implications, or continue to talk about the implications of careless sexual activity, and then we'll talk about unrighteous divorce is treachery. So the overview of today's broadcast, it continues to look at the implications of careless sexual activity and then goes on to discuss unrighteous divorce or putting away. It is noted that the love bond endures when the other bonds are cut, and a case study is presented of the consequences of one unwise sexual incident. Another case study is presented where unwise lovemaking cost millions. It is noted that the legal basis for divorce is stringent and uncompromising. Reference is made to applicable prayers for divorce. A further article is presented in which it is stated that unrighteous divorce is treachery, and a case study is presented of clandestine sex being treachery. It is noted that knee-jerk divorce is also treachery, and further elements of the case are presented. It is noted that treacherous divorce or putting away is massively destructive. Finally, we examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 and a half years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993. When he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word, for more information. In particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu that lists articles in a logical sequence relative to a typical journey with YAH. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's Relationship with Creator Radio, one word. Click on the show in the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. I also have weekly teaching Zoom calls every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, USA time. That's 3:30 p.m. UK time, 5:30 p.m. South African time on Zoom. The Zoom code, so it's zoom.us, and the code is 703-237-1115. That's the account, 703-237-1115. And the passcode is 123484. Say again, 123484. I hope to see you there. So, continuing with the implications of careless sexual activity and resulting one flesh bonds and covenants. So, continuing on from that last broadcast, the love bond endures even when the other bonds are cut. We glibly refer to making love. The fact is that sexual intercourse results in the creation of love. The more considerate the lovemaking, the stronger the love that comes into existence. Oral stimulation of the sexual organs leading to orgasm also creates love. The more two people make love, the stronger the love bond becomes. 1 Corinthians 13:8 in the Bible states that love never dies. Love endures for eternity unless it is murdered through violence, abuse, angry verbal attack, or similar on a sustained basis. Notwithstanding that a divorce is granted and the one flesh bond is broken, the love bond will endure and tend to bring the couple back together. It will cause them to constantly return to one another unless strongly controlled and managed. It is possible to pray for the love to be shut up and locked away, but this requires an ongoing act of the will to give effect to it any time the love urge surfaces. Folks, if you understand the love bond, you will understand a lot of what happens between people who've been in intense sexual relationships and break up for one reason or another. It's also important to understand that if one partner in a relationship is abusive, they can destroy the love in the other partner, but their love will remain intact if the other partner doesn't fight back. So it results in all sorts of strange behavior. So I wanted to consider a case study where one unwise sexual incident had impacts that lasted for over a decade. In this case, a man and woman were in a sexual relationship. As a consequence of a number of factors that are not relevant to this article, they got divorced and the one flesh bond was broken by the court of heaven. They had previously built up a substantial love bond. He married another woman, but the relationship was a bit rocky. One day he contacted the original woman and went to see her. They ended up making love, but did not think much of it. Many years later, he realized that a virgin's covenant came into existence, which, since he was already married, was of necessity a covenant of sharing the man with more than one woman. Neither party gave much thought to this incident. In the years that followed, the man was in constant financial difficulty. He did not go back to the first woman. He divorced his wife, married another. Financial difficulties persisted. He left his country and emigrated, believing that the problem with his finances related to the economy of the country. He battled to build a business in the new country. At no time did it occur to him that the problem related to this one flesh bond and covenant. Eventually it occurred to him that his house must be divided, and after prayer and fasting he finally realized that the problem was caused by the above-mentioned one flesh bond. After further discussion and negotiation, he was finally permitted by the court of heaven to divorce the first woman, and the situation came to an end. So one episode of sexual intercourse lasting less than an hour crippled the man and his subsequent wife financially for over 5 years. If one is battling financially, it is vital to examine one's sexual history in detail. One incident of sex can have huge financial consequences. I constantly come across committed believers who are in financial lack. Many of them are in countries in Africa and Asia where poverty is widespread, and so you can look at that and say, well, it's just the country, there's conditions in the country where they live. However, there's substantial evidence that Father will bless you and prosper you even in a drought or a famine if you are in right standing. So I want to suggest for your consideration that if you are battling financially, one of the key things may be that at some time in your life, you or your wife or your husband or wife had sex with somebody else who's no longer living with you. It only needs to be one instance of sex and this comes into effect. You've got to be really so careful. And if you have got that, you need to clean up. We'll talk about that a bit later. Another case study, unwise lovemaking that cost millions. In this case, the man concerned, who was a strong believer with a very long, strong, with a very close relationship with the Almighty, had a limited covenant through two or three incidents of lovemaking with a woman in a country 12,000 miles away from where he lived several years previously, that resulted in a covenant that allowed sharing. He met another woman, and without forethought and without proper preparation, he consummated a virgin's covenant with her, not thinking of the consequences relative to the covenant and one flesh bond with the first woman. He did not tell the first woman, so the house was automatically divided from day one. In this case, the man was employed in an executive position, earning a good salary, and there were no immediately apparent consequences. The spiritual attack and hindrance for the divided house took on the effect on the business that was employing the man. Eventually, after 2 years, the employer was in such financial difficulty that the man's remuneration was slashed by 50%. So 2 years for the consequences of his unwise sexual congress to directly impact him. Folks, this is something, what I'm talking about today are things that I've only come to understand in the last month or two, given these two situations that I'm talking about. If you have one flesh bonds with, this applies equally to men and women. If you have a one flesh bond who somebody is one flesh with somebody else and they don't know about it, the house is automatically divided. There is going to be an attack on your finances. I need to stress that this whole article, I'm talking to committed believers. If you're not a committed believer, if you're an unbeliever, these things for the most part are not going to impact you. Going back to the case study, the situation was so severe that the company went bankrupt and the remnant was taken over by another company, which slashed the remuneration of the man by 80%. In the 2 years following that, that company also started to get into financial difficulties, such that even that reduced remuneration of the man was at risk. During this period, he lost his car, lost his storage locker with all his furniture, books, and personal possessions, and he racked up massive debts. At this point, after prayer and fasting, finally, the man realized that the problem resulted from his divided house. He prayed to divorce the first woman and proceeded for months, assuming the prayer was granted. It was not, and the losses continued. Mistakenly, he tried to divorce the second woman, and that also failed. After several months of turmoil and discussions with the two women concerned, the first woman decided that she was not prepared to share, renounced her covenant of sharing, and demanded a divorce. The man took the matter to the court of heaven, and Yah granted the divorce. At the time of writing, it was stated, it is expected that finances will improve shortly. So there's a huge lesson here about not having sex unless you've A, carefully thought through and discussed things, and B, made sure that what you're proposing is workable and viable. I'm quite certain that the second woman in the case study I've just presented to you, if she'd been told about the first woman and the Virgin's Covenant would come into existence if they made love, she would not have done what she did. She didn't realize he was at fault for just taking it for granted that she would understand. So huge, huge things here. Also, a huge lesson is that the error of one strong believer can affect the finances of a whole group of people, cause losses running to millions, and in the last case, place the job security of over 100 people at risk. It subsequently turned out that there was another one flesh bond that could not be divorced, and also that there were bloodline curses of poverty at play. Further measures were taken, and the situation is still requiring work and prayer. Lack in the body of true believers is truly a challenging matter, and unwise sexual unions can be massively destructive. So, folks, I said this a few minutes ago, but I just bears repeating. If you are a committed believer and you are in lack, there's a bunch of other things that cause lack. There's an article on the website about poverty, or in fact, there are a couple of articles on the website about poverty of believers. But one of the key things that may well be having an effect on you is this thing of unresolved or one-flesh bonds where the house is divided, where they're not in perfect agreement. And so if you're in lack, first thing to check is your marriage, your relationship with its husband, with wife with husband, and then to look back on your life and say, did I have a one-night stand when I was a youngster? It could be that that is why you're in lack. You need to go back and ask Father. You need to examine your life. We live in a society that, for the most part, does not understand what I've just been talking about. And therefore, casual sex, particularly amongst teenagers, is almost condoned and almost expected. If you then become a committed believer, it can have huge consequences. And just praying for it to end doesn't necessarily end it, as we'll see in a minute. So continuing with the case study, the legal basis for divorce is stringent and uncompromising. In the case of the second case study, the man realized that the house was divided and summarily and reactively prayed to divorce the first woman. He had no legal basis to do this, and the court of heaven did not grant the divorce. The man continued, believing the divorce had been granted, and continued to suffer loss. Very careless, very slipshod. It was only at the end, after detailed negotiation, when the woman concerned formally declared that even though she had shared before and her covenant was for sharing, she was not prepared to share again and put it in writing, that the court of heaven granted a divorce. It is vital to understand that it is very easy to casually form a one-flesh bond and sexual covenant, but the court of heaven is strict with regard to granting divorce, and divorce is only granted subject to very strict conditions, primarily relating to irrevocable breach of covenant by one party when the other party has dealt righteously. It's a complex subject. I thought I understood it a few years ago, and from these two situations that I've just shared with you, which have come to my knowledge in the last few months, it's in fact much more complex, it's much more stringent than I had understood it to be. So you can't just say, Father, I don't like this person anymore, or they live a long way from me and I want someone who's going to live next close to me, or whatever. You can't just have a little argument or disagreement and pray for a divorce and have it granted. It's not going to be granted, folks. You need to realize that. So applicable prayers for divorce. If you have a basis for divorce, look at the article, The Essence of My Message, Reseparation of Man and Woman, Divorce, on the website, on the main menu, for all the prayers that are necessary to bring about a full divorce. So that's not only just the divorce itself, it's cutting the one flesh bond, it's cutting the soul ties, it's cutting the vows, it's cutting the replication of spirits, etc., etc. There are also prayers relating to one flesh bonds formed without orgasm and without vaginal intercourse. I hope that this article has helped if you are in any way impacted by the matters discussed here. I suggest that you share this article with children who are on the point of becoming sexually active before they lose their virginity or even fool around sexually. It's important to understand that just because you decide you want a divorce doesn't mean you're going to get the divorce. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail with the next section of this broadcast. But for now, I would really encourage you, even if you've gone back and think you've divorced people you had sex with in the early part of your life and you're still in lack, then you need to go back and double check, get on your knees before Father, fast and pray if necessary, and make sure that those divorces have actually been granted, make sure that the one flesh bonds have actually been cut, because if they've not, you're going to continue in lack. There are other things that can cause lack, but this is a biggie. So let's look at unrighteous divorce as treachery. Following through on the previous article about the implications of careless sexual activity, further ramifications in those situations have become evident. Specifically, that it's not easy to cut the one flesh bonds resulting from careless sexual activity, and that attempts to do this unrighteously amount to treachery and will fail. These issues are discussed below. First of all, unrighteous divorce is putting away and is treachery. The first thing to understand is that unrighteous divorce is not divorce. It is putting away and it's violence and forbidden by Yah. What follows is an analysis that I've only come to understand in the last week or two at the time of writing, which is a couple of months ago. Consider first of all in the Bible, Malachi 2:16. For Yah the eternally self-existing, incorrectly the Lord, the Mighty One, incorrectly God, of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment. Saith Yah, the eternally self-existing of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. So that's derived from the King James Bible. So here, this is little understood. People say that Yah hates divorce. Yah does not hate divorce. If one party has dealt unrighteously, has broken covenant, and there is a basis for a true divorce, Yah will grant divorce. But if it's just that, as in the example we've just been reading about, the man wakes up one day and says, this is not working, I need to get rid of this woman. It's not going to work, folks. It's really not going to work, and we'll see more about that in a minute. See, also Matthew 19:9, and I say unto you, this is Yeshua speaking, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. It's from the King James as well. In this context, adultery also speaks of treachery and covenant breaking. And it is apparent that the woman that is put away is not free to covenant with another. In other words, that the one flesh bond has not been cut. So the bottom line is that a man who puts away his covenant woman for no reason or for some superficial reason is committing treachery against her and will be judged accordingly, and that they are still viewed as joined in the court of heaven. In a recent situation that I'm aware of, a woman who was deeply in love with and in strong covenant with a man was put away on the basis of a momentary disagreement. She suffered massive spiritual and emotional trauma that has had a huge impact on her. So the violence is very real. Again, these are things that I've sort of understood at some basic level for many years. But these two situations that I'm talking about now have really brought home to me in a very direct manner how fundamentally these principles apply, and how traumatic unrighteous divorce putting away is. I read about it many years ago, really didn't understand it in the way I've come to understand it through these situations that I'm just talking about now. Case study one, clandestine sex was treachery. Referring to the article on Keller 6, the first case study referred to a man who consummated a covenant with a second woman without the knowledge of his first woman and legal wife. What I just realized at the time of just before writing the article is that the covenant with the first woman was a monogamous covenant by verbal agreement and cemented by a church wedding, which is inherently monogamous. By going behind his legal wife's back, the man concerned committed treachery against her. The second woman, knowing that the man was legally married and inherently in a monogamous covenant, also committed treachery against that woman. Subsequently, the married woman breached her covenant with the man and he suffered a massive breakdown. I realized just before writing this article that this breach was a judgment for the treachery of the man with the second woman towards the wife. The man subsequently legally divorced the wife and she returned to the United States. It is unclear whether the divorce was approved in the court of heaven, but she eventually got into major error and died or was taken about 3 years ago, finally ending that covenant in one flesh bond. The resulting divided house and major financial lack was a judgment on the man for his treachery, and accordingly father did not speak to the man to correct him. Folks, these are deep things. We live in a society, or many of us live in a society, where this sort of odd sexual dalliance, the odd one-night stand or whatever is sort of almost viewed by many as just one of those things that happen. You meet somebody, you're attracted to them, and next thing you know, you're in bed, and, well, that's just the way it is, not a big deal, say sorry, repent, move on. Folks, it's not like that at all. You make love to a man and woman, or two men or two women, make love once with orgasm. There's a covenant. There's a one flesh bond. It's going to bring you judgment if it's unrighteous, if it's clandestine, whatever, if there's a second party involved and the three people are not in total agreement with one another, it's going to give rise to problems. Case study two, clandestine sex was treachery. In the case of study two, where the man had an existing covenant, albeit a covenant of sharing, he consummated with the second woman without disclosing to her that he had an existing covenant and one flesh bond, and without disclosing to his first covenant woman that he was planning to do this. The reality is that the consummation took place suddenly and in an unplanned way because of intense attraction between the man and woman. This act of consummation constituted treachery against the first woman and the second woman. The ongoing lack of finances and non-disclosure of the sin was judgment against the man, and again, father kept silent. The situation was further complicated by the fact that some years earlier, the second woman had taken a vow of celibacy before Yah. By consummating with the man, she broke covenant with Yah, committed treachery against Yah, and the resulting financial lack was a judgment on her for her transgression. Many years ago, I wrote about the importance of a man and in the context of a man and woman, but it applies however, but let's focus on man and woman. Many years ago, I wrote of the importance of sitting down for hours and sharing exactly what you believe, all the details of your business situation, your work situation, your personal situation, etc., 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 with a prospective life partner, and only consummating once you were sure that there was complete agreement about the way you're going to live life together, with an understanding that once you'd consummated, there was no going back. the men in these two stories, in these two case studies, did not do that. Case study two, knee-jerk divorce was treachery. Continuing case study two, when the man realized that the house was divided, his knee-jerk reaction was to divorce the first woman because he was in a business relationship with the second woman and also deeply in love with her. He had no legal basis to divorce the first woman, but he did it nonetheless. His unrighteous treachery caused huge emotional and spiritual damage to the first woman, and the divorce was not granted, resulting in the situation discussed in the previous article, where the house was divided. Again, father did not say anything to the man because the man knew better. So, certainly in a lot of Western society, things today are such that people think, because divorce is legally now quite attainable, quite easy, that if they have a bit of a row, a bit of a disagreement, or they've, quote, grown apart, that, we'll just get divorced and find somebody else. That's fine if you're an unbeliever. It's probably fine if you're a nominal believer. It's not fine if you're a committed believer. Why do I say that? If you're an unbeliever, the forces of darkness don't give a hoot what you do. If you're a nominal believer, the forces of darkness don't give a hoot what you do. If you are significantly committed believers, the forces of darkness are going to rub their hands with glee, and they're going to look at everything they can do to take your finances apart. Going to put hindering spirits wherever they can and generally interfere with your finances. And I'll talk more about that probably in another broadcast. Case study two, continuing. Further knee-jerk divorce, more treachery. Because of the above, the man erroneously believed himself to be in covenant only with the second woman. As explained in the previous article, this was not the case. And so the divided house with the man and two women continued, and the lack continued. The man then picked a fight with the second woman because she did not want to enter a civil partnership or marriage contract, blamed her for dividing the house, and summarily divorced her. Coming on top of a situation where they had made love dozens of times and spent over 2,000 days online on Zoom every day for 5 years, such that there was a massive love bond. This caused massive spiritual and emotional damage to the woman that she may never fully recover from, and which has done massive damage to the relationship. The divorce was not granted in the court of heaven, and as mentioned in the previous article, the divided house and the financial lack continued. Father continued to be silent, waiting for the man to recognize his error and course correct. Folks, it's important to understand, if you're a committed believer and you're a mature believer, father is not going to help you and guide you and correct you the way he did when you were a young believer. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking, well, when I was first started walking with father, he used to guide me every step of the way and constantly corrected me when I made mistakes. You reach a point of maturity, folks, where father says, I've taught you all these things. You know enough. You know me enough. You don't need me to tell you, and I'm not going to tell you, because at the end of the day, you're going to be judged on how you live your life. And if you can't live your life properly and you do stupid things like these two situations I've described, you're going to have to bear the consequences. Going back to the case study, there were further incidents of knee-jerk divorce that were also not granted, causing further harm and hurt to both women and bringing judgment on the man. A few weeks after the above divorce with the second woman, the man experienced extreme pain in his abdomen for over a week, and then a few weeks later, extreme pain in his right hip. The condition continues, and he believes this is judgment for his sin described above. Added to this, having heard Father Yah clearly for many years, it appears that this man is only hearing Yah partially, or perhaps not at all, certainly not in the area of his relationships. He's stumbling around trying to figure out what to do. It is a taxing and distressing situation as he tries to rectify his mistakes and course correct. Folks, I hope even if you're not personally involved in anything like I'm talking about today, if you've never, if you've only had sex with one person and you're living with that person today and you're in perfect harmony, then this doesn't apply to you. But if you've had sex with more than one person, if you've terminated a relationship hastily, then you need to look very carefully at what I'm teaching today, because it almost certainly applies to you. And if on top of that you're a committed believer and you're in financial lack, then I would go so far as to say with almost full certainty that what I'm talking about today applies to you. You cannot expect Father to be faithful when you have been unfaithful. Continuing with case study two, some unintended consequences. The unintended consequences of the above is the man in case study two was one flesh with both women. They both have intense love for him. He has intense love for them, and neither of them want to share. He and the second woman are in deep financial lack and struggling to survive financially. Prior to this, he had again tried to cut ties with the first woman and does not know what to do to rectify the situation. Update. The most recent development is that the first woman in case two has declared in writing that she will not share, and the man has gone formally to the Court of Heaven for divorce and issued a certificate of divorce. He is trusting that this has finalized the situation, but still has to deal with the huge hurt and damage that he has caused to the second woman. Folks, I can't stress enough how damaging these things are. I'd seen it sort of at an intellectual level many years ago, but it didn't sink in. The truth is, I'm the man in both stories. And I've had to repent deeply. I'm still living with trying to work out the consequences of what I've done. And I have to say to you from deep personal experience, don't follow in my footsteps. If you find yourself in a situation that even vaguely approximates what I've been talking about today, please email me. I'll talk you through it. I'll pray with you. Do not act hastily or rashly. Do not issue a divorce until you're sure that it's applicable. There are things that you can do in certain circumstances if you're not living with someone to possibly get a divorce. It's not clear cut, and you need to work it through carefully. Treacherous divorce is massively destructive. The bottom line is that treacherous divorce is massively destructive. That as a believer, you should only consummate a sexual relationship after detailed discussion of your intentions, ensuring that both parties are in full agreement with regard to the terms of the covenant and the parameters of the relationship, and ensuring that if there are more than two people involved, that all parties are fully informed, fully consulted, and fully on board before consummation. Divorce for invalid reasons, divorce in anger and knee-jerk reaction will not be granted, but will do huge emotional and spiritual damage that may never be recovered and should therefore never be attempted. If there is real treachery within a relationship, then that should be dealt with by a formal written warning to correct the behavior and get the relationship back on track, coupled with sober discussion of the issues and the impacts. At least three written warnings should be given at intervals of at least a few weeks. And if that fails to correct the destructive behavior, then only at that point may one consider going to Father Yah to inquire as to whether he will allow divorce. Even then, Father Yah may tell one to sort out the problems and continue with the union. It's so important to understand, folks, that making love creates this massive spiritual structure of one flesh bond, love bond, and all the other elements that are discussed in the article on the Virgin's Covenant and also in the article on the divorce. You should not break a relationship unless there is no other way forward. Really, really so important. In conclusion, I hope that from these two articles you will see that ill-considered hasty sexual union is totally out of the question, and that one should discuss fully, engage all existing partners, and only consummate a sexual relationship once one is absolutely certain that all parties are entirely in agreement. If you cannot achieve agreement, then do not consummate. By extension, summarily putting away a lifetime sexual covenant partner, wife, for no good reason, and there are only a narrow range of valid reasons, is treachery and causes massive, violent, spiritual and emotional consequences. If you have had sex with anyone who is not in a close, intimate relationship with you today, these two articles potentially have a direct bearing on your situation. These situations are complex and they're not easy to unravel, and they can have massively adverse spiritual and financial consequences. Note that this only applies to committed believers. For nominal believers and unbelievers, this is irrelevant. The forces of darkness have no interest in your situation. If you find yourself in such a situation and you require counsel, you're welcome to email me and we can meet on Zoom, Skype or telephone for me to advise you and pray appropriately with you. My email address is James, that's J-A-M-E-S, at endtimeissueministries.org. Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. James at endtimeissueministries.org. Please, before you rush out and do something, contact me. Let's talk it through. I will advise you on the basis of harsh personal experience. Pray with you as appropriate. And please understand, there are situations where if you took a woman's virginity 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you may have to go looking for her and tell her that she's your true wife. Or if you're a woman, go looking for him and tell him that he's your true husband. And you may find, you will probably find that that person will tell you to get lost, at which case point you have a basis to go and ask for a divorce. But you've got to go through the correct procedure. You can't just summarily say, oh goodness, you know what, I had sex with so-and-so 40 years ago when we were 14 years old or 12 years old or 18 years old or whatever it is that youngsters first have sex with these days. I'm going to divorce him. It's, as you've seen, it's not necessarily going to work. In fact, if it was a virgin's covenant, unless something happened to give a basis for it to be broken, it's probably not going to be easy to break it. And you've got to follow due process. And the article on divorce goes through that in quite a bit of detail. I think that's all I can share with you on this. I just want to wrap up here. All of these things, you may say, well, James, why are you spending so much time on this? And the answer to that is if you're really seeking to serve Father and you have sexual connections like those I've talked about, you need to do something about them because they're holding you back. Maybe you're not in financial lack, in which case some of this doesn't apply. But if you're in financial lack and you're a committed believer, please look at this carefully. It only takes one instance of sex, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, to turn your life on its head. Please contact me if that's you. So I want to close by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. It's so important to understand that the only reason the universe exists, the only reason the solar system exists, the only reason that planet Earth exists, the only reason that you exist is to have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator and become His friend. Anything less than that is a misfire. You're falling short. You're going to be bitterly disappointed when you die. It doesn't matter your age, your gender, your financial situation, your level of education, your race, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, the color of your skin. All of that is irrelevant. Irrespective of those things, Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, wants a deep personal relationship with you. I want to challenge you, if you've not already decided to walk that road, walk that road. Start walking that road today. Step out with Him. Pray to Him to lead you and guide you. Some key documents and a video on the website main menu, a compendium of important articles, video on the second line of the menu, Why Seek Relationship, the miracle of Yeshua's death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity, the essence of my message to Christians and also to Muslims, Jews and other faiths, available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. And recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's Relationship with Creator Radio, one word. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down. Or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. I give weekly teaching Zoom calls every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, USA, 3:30 p.m. UK time, or 5:30 p.m. South African time on a Zoom link, zoom.us/703-237-1115. That's 703-237-1115. Passcode 123484. 123484. If you're looking to join and you're elsewhere in the world, please check on Google. Just type in 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, USA, and the name of your country, and Google will give you the exact time. Somebody tried to join an hour after the call started and missed the call. Then visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly powerful. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, just to reiterate, it doesn't matter who you are, what your personal circumstances are right now, Father wants a deep personal relationship with you. Pray with me. Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I want to become your friend. I choose to become your friend. I ask you to help me and to guide me. I ask you to open doors and close doors. I ask you to bring people into my life and take people out of my life. Help me to know what to read, where to go, who to speak to, and help me to draw really close to you. I ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. So there you are, folks. Irrespective of your race or your color, your creed or anything, you can become a friend of the Almighty. So I just want to say good night to you. and go well.